Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Kia ora, welcome to the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast and thanks for tuning in this week. I'm your host Jordan, I'm a mum of one, soon to be two boys and a lover of all things birth and a very passionate storyteller. The goal of Kiwi Birth Tales is to empower, inform, educate and connect families from New Zealand and all over the world, talking about the things that are so often kept to ourselves or shared with only our nearest and dearest because of this taboo that seems to surround sharing stories about birth. All stories deserve to be heard, no story more important than the other, and with this podcast you'll get a variety without bias. The podcast is not intended for medical advice. I'm not an advocate for any particular mode of birth or birth care, and this platform is simply here to share these beautiful, empowering Kiwi Birth Tales with you all. So I hope you enjoy. This week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales is proudly brought to you by BioBlends. BioBlends is a New Zealand-based, plant-based nutritional supplement, and the brand is founded and formulated by Dr. Libby Weaver. I have been using three of the BioBlends supplements over the last 6.5 weeks. I've been using the Daily Organic Greens and Radiant Reds, the Organic Zinc and the Calm Restore, and I'm really loving all of their products. I've noticed a huge difference in my nails. Actually, I had white spots on my nails, and I think the zinc has made a big difference with that, but the Calm Restore as well, I think, is making a huge difference just in my mood, and I haven't suffered with any sort of major hormonal dips or feelings in this postpartum period. So that's been really interesting. Their products, which are formulated by Dr. Libby Weaver, are only the purest available ingredients and use organic everything where possible. And there is nothing synthetic or lab produced in the range. I'm really excited to be partnering with BioBlends to bring you this week's episode, and there's an awesome giveaway going live on the Kiwi Birth Tales Instagram tonight. If you are interested in that, make sure you head over and check it out. Thanks again, BioBlends, for sponsoring this week's episode. In this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales, I speak with the lovely Gabby about the birth of her daughter Sia. And in this episode, we talk through Gabby's pregnancy experience, where she actually moved from Auckland to the Bay of Plenty at around 34 weeks because of lockdown and COVID and everything like that. Gabby had a positive, active pregnancy experience and made the decision to birth at the Bethlehem Birth Centre. So she talks us through her pregnancy, going into labour, and then her birth experience there, which is really lovely and super positive to hear, and really nice to hear from a first-time mum who's just had a really, empowering birth experience, which is so awesome. She talks about her birth education, including Your Birth Project, which is really cool, and then some recommendations of things that she has been using postpartum that she sort of swears by. And then we talk through her postpartum recovery so far. Little Sia is only a couple of weeks old, so she's pretty fresh into it. And she talks us through what that journey has been like for them so far, including breastfeeding and mental health and just all the things. So I really loved this episode with Gabby. I know that you will too. Let's jump into it. Hi, Gabby. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be talking to you.
No worries. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Yeah, so my name's Gabby. I have a husband called Sam and a dog called Miley, and then we have a two-week-old little girl called Sia. Mm-hmm. We're based in Auckland, and we have a really nice little family of four now.
Yeah, Awesome. I love her name. When you posted her birth announcement on Instagram, I was like, yes, that is such a cool name.
I know, I didn't realize how like unusual people are saying it is or different, because my husband and I, we always love the names like Mia, Pia, Gia, that kind of sound. But then he's Sam Stone and I was Gabby Gatlin before I married him, so we kind of always loved that double SS or GG. So we wanted a name beginning with S, and we thought C is quite cool, and I don't know any C is, so
No, me neither.
so it's quite different, but we love it.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool. And what was the journey like to pregnancy for you guys?
Pretty good. We got married in December 2020, and my husband has wanted children for ages. He's a bit older than me, he's 32, so we sort of thought we'll get married and then we'll see what happens. We sort of wanted to put no pressure on it, and then got pregnant in January. So it kind of happened a lot quicker than we thought it would, but we were so grateful that it happened the way it did. So I found out end of January I was pregnant. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, were you pregnant at your wedding?
Oh
I was like,
yeah.
oh, no. Definitely wasn't, thank God. I had definitely a few too many champagnes that night. We were really, really lucky, because I know it's not that way for a lot of people, but it happened quite quickly.
Awesome. Were you tracking your cycles or anything like that, or you just sort of let it happen?
Yeah, I had been actually. I actually went to a skin specialist, or not a skin specialist, a hormonal specialist lady before we got married, because I wanted my skin to be great. And she actually said to me, I don't know if you're ovulating,
Oh,
because
okay.
I had such long cycles. And so I did a couple of ovulation tests before the wedding, and I was like, no, I definitely am. I just had really long cycles. So I was tracking them, but it wasn't really for the reason of getting pregnant. It was just to see if I was actually ovulating, and I was. So yeah, when I got pregnant quite quickly, when I went to the doctors to get a test, they were actually really surprised at how quickly it had happened as well, because couldn't figure out actually what date I had ovulated, so I had to get a dating scan. And then so I had been tracking on that Flow app, but not to get pregnant, kind of just to see why they were going on and on my cycles. But it just shows that, even if you do have really long cycles, whatever, you can still get pregnant quite easily.
Cool. Awesome. And how did you end up finding out that you're pregnant? Did you just take a test or did you have other symptoms?
I found out really early. So because I guess my husband and I, we just got married, so there was a lot of sex going on. It was that honeymoon phase for that first month after. I thought, and we hadn't been, using protection or anything, I thought, oh, I'll just take a test, because it's been about, my period should be coming up, but I didn't really have any symptoms because it was so early. And I just did one of those tests with the lines, and this really faint line came up. Like, it was so faint that I thought, oh my God, am I pregnant? Am I not? So I had to wait a couple of days to go back up to Auckland. I got a digital pregnancy test that said, yes, pregnant 2 weeks or whatever. And I was literally in shock. Like, I took like 10 pregnancy tests after. I don't know why I kept taking them. I think it was just such a shock when you suddenly realize you're pregnant. I didn't actually have, and then I actually had quite sore boobs when I think back to what my first symptom was. It was, the sore boobs, a lot sorer than you would get before my period. So that was really the only symptom I had.
Awesome. It's so funny, isn't it? Like, even if you know that there's like a chance or even a probability that you will be pregnant, seeing those positive lines on a pregnancy test is like a whole different
It's
feeling.
amazing. It's like your whole life you kind of, you're sort of almost trying to prevent it, I guess, growing up. And then you suddenly, you really want it, and you see those double lines, and it's so hard to believe, because you obviously can't feel anything. There's nothing happening at the start. I just wanted to keep seeing those lines. I think every time I took a test, I was like, oh, it's still okay. It's still, something's still going on inside. So it was crazy.
Cool. Awesome. And did you decide to go with a midwife for your care, or what was your plan there?
Yeah, I went with a midwife. My mum, she had midwives, and I don't know, I think it was just always something that I thought I didn't need to get a doctor, an obstetrician for. I just sort of, my mum had always given me really positive stories of her births with my brother and I, and I thought a midwife would be really suitable for me. So yeah, I got a midwife. I actually didn't realize how hard midwives were to get in Auckland. So I texted a few different ones straight away. I was only, 4 weeks pregnant, and they just came back, no, sorry, too busy, no, sorry. And I was like, oh my God, this is the most exciting thing for me. And they just couldn't even fit me in. So I finally found a girl, Georgina, up there in Auckland. And yeah, it was great. The midwife option was really good for me, actually. Really liked that route we took. So yeah, went with the midwife option. Yeah.
Cool. And what was the rest of your pregnancy experience like? Did you do the sort of standard testing that's offered, and did you find out the sex of your baby?
Yeah, so we did the NIPT testing at 6 weeks. Oh, sorry, 10 weeks. Which was, yeah, mainly because my husband wanted to know what we were having. So I really had a feeling it was a girl. My mum did that, that ring test where it swings back or forth or around in circles, and that was, I think it was back and forth, which means it's a girl. And I was having all like sweet cravings rather than savory. I don't know, just all the old wives' tales were pointing towards the direction of girls. So when we did a gender reveal, we cut into a cake that my friend made, and all these pink lollies spilled out. So that's how we found out. So it was so exciting. I think, I would have been happy either way, a boy or a girl, but it was quite sweet having a little girl. I was really excited about it.
Cool. And did you do like the gestational diabetes tests and stuff like that?
So what was that, like 2020? When do you do that? I can't even
Yeah, we
remember.
would usually do one like late second, maybe early third trimester.
So I went and did that, drank the drink, and everything was fine. I did actually later on in my pregnancy, they did, because my family has a history of big babies. I went for a dating scan later on down the track. I think I was 34 weeks, and she was measuring in the 95th percentile. So my midwife said, just check. I had to do the blood prick test for 5 days. Just to check that I didn't have gestational diabetes, and I didn't, but it was just because she was so big. But did all the regular testing. I just did everything I was told, got all the different vaccinations I was supposed to get, and all the things, because I was just listening to what I was supposed to do.
Cool. And did you do any antenatal classes or like birth education or anything like that in your pregnancy?
Yes, so I did Holistic Baby, which I found we had to do by Zoom, because by the time we got to was supposed to go in and do it, it was locked down again. So that was good. It was two sh sessions. The first session was very much all the natural sort of way of how the birth can go, and just the labor preparation and things like that. And then the second session was more medical advice and what can go wrong, what are your options. If if you need to have intervention and things like that. It was really good. It was really helpful. And then I did that alongside your birth project course, which was just so great. I actually redid it like a couple of days before I went into labor, and it was just like really fresh in my brain. And it just kind of, just being at the back of my brain going into labor was just, oh, it was so good. So thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. That's good. I'm pleased it was a positive resource to have on hand.
It was, especially the birth partner part. My husband watched that, and he just was amazing the day I went into labor, how he got the room ready, and how he made it his whole job that, he was protecting my space. And he did such a good job. So it was great.
Oh, that's lovely. Awesome. And did you plan where you wanted to birth? Like, were you thinking hospital, birth center, home? What were your thoughts there?
So before COVID, this recent Delta outbreak, I was actually going to go to Auckland Hospital. I think I felt, with it being my first baby, everyone thinks, oh, you should go to hospital first baby in case something goes wrong. And then we left Auckland before it went into lockdown, with me being not vaccinated, high risk being pregnant, and moved in with my parents down the Bay of Plenty. So the plan changed then, because I didn't want to go to hospital anymore just because of COVID. So Bethlehem Birthing Centre was where the plan changed to be. And so which has ended up being the best decision ever. But a Bethlehem Birthing Centre is just absolutely amazing. So I got a midwife down here in the Bay of Plenty. She took me on, luckily. And the things changed. And then it was just, doing early labour, and then getting across to Bethlehem Birthing Centre for having the baby, when I was ready to go.
Yeah, awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
And were you doing anything in preparation for birth, like antenatal expressing or perineal massage, all the different things that people say can help you go into labor? What were you doing there?
I was doing everything.
Yeah.
So, Kathy from Holistic Baby Shack, she has these birth prepare boxes. I was eating 6 dates a day, from 37 weeks. I was, drinking red leaf raspberry tea. I was walking like twice a day. So Sia was really engaged in I think she was 3/5 down or 4/5 down for like the 4 weeks before I went into
Oh
labor.
wow, yeah.
So she was super low, which wasn't fun for my bladder, but that's all
No.
right. I was doing primrose oil, so I started putting capsules up my vagina and in my mouth once at night. And then what else was I doing? Yeah, perineal massage, lots of sex, all the things sort of.
All
I
the
think I
fun
kind of got
things.
yeah all I kind of got to that 37-week mark, and it was like, okay, well, if she came any day now, it would be fine. I kind of got impatient, I think. So she was four days overdue in the end, which was, great. I actually got a stretch and sweep to bring, which brought on the labor on that morning. But yeah, I was doing everything, and I swear by it because I literally hardly had the first stage of labor. I kind of skipped it and went straight to active.
Amazing.
So I think all those things, I don't know which one worked the most because I was doing them all, but I think there's definitely no harm in doing all of them.
No, I'm a big fan of just doing all the things that feel like they're helping in some way. So that's awesome. Cool. And do you want to take us through your labor starting? So maybe you just mentioned that you had a stretch and sweep. So maybe start from there and then take us through, your labor and into your birth story.
Cool. So, my due date was the 12th of October, so I went past that, and it got to the Friday, which was the 15th of October. And so I had a midwife appointment, and she said, we can do a stretch and sweep if you want. We don't have to, but I thought, oh, well, there's no harm in doing one, because we'd also in that appointment been talking about induction options and what date I would like to be induced by. And so it seemed a lot more appealing to me to do the stretch and sweep rather than the induction. So I'd been researching all about them, and I was prepared for it to be not that comfortable sort of thing. So went to the appointment, and the midwife, she did a stretch and sweep, and her face was like, oh. And I was like, what? And she said, well, you're 3 centimeters dilated. And the baby, I can feel her head sort of right there. And basically, she's like, I could have broken your waters then if I wanted to. So she was like, go home, and be prepared that you probably will go into labor this weekend. So I was like, oh my God, I was so excited, but then also kind of not wanting to get my hopes up at the same time, because I'd heard, the whole time you're thinking, don't get your hopes up, every time I feel a little niggle or whatever. So got home, and I decided to actually go for a walk, because I thought, I'll just want to keep things moving. I don't want to go and lie down. And I'd heard that, that can stop things and slow things down. So I went for a walk along the beach, and yeah, I was kind of getting tightening every 10 to 20 minutes or so, but nothing major. So then I came home, had some dinner, and everyone kind of knew I was having this tightening, but it wasn't, everyone was sort of, my parents and my husband was like, oh, what do you think? What do you think? And I was like, I don't know, I don't know. Just kind of not wanting to say too much about it. And then I came upstairs, and yeah, it got a lot. They got every 5 minutes, I was getting just sort of subtle tightening. So my husband, he put the music on, and he made the room all nice, and got the essential oils going and whatnot. And I was thinking at this point, oh, labor's easy. I was like, these contractions are nothing. And then, but we had to get to Bethlehem from Waihi Beach, which is where we are. So we knew, my husband knew it was about a 45, 50-minute drive. So he was getting quite panicked. He was saying, I think we should get in the car. These are 5 minutes apart. And he texts the midwife, and she said, no, she'll know when she wants to come. Like I said, no, I don't want to leave yet. I feel fine. I liked where I was. So anyway, that went on for a few hours, and it got to about 10 o'clock, and I got up off my bed, and my water broke all everywhere. It was like a water balloon popping all over the floor. And at that point, I was like, oh no, okay, this is what labor feels like. Just from my water breaking, the intensity of the contractions just went from 0 to 100 so quickly. So I was literally like, okay, no, we need to go right now. So we got everything in the car and he got us there so quickly. I don't know how fast he was going, but he did. He was like, this is my job, fast and furious. I'm going to get us here. So we got there very quickly. And from that point, so that was at about 10:30. So got into Bethlehem Birthing Center. My midwife was already there and she actually had a student helping her, which was really nice because I'm all for, we need more midwives, we need people
100%.
learning. So I was all for her being there. So my mum came as well. And then, yeah, so I kind of had a, I got there and I put the TENS, I had a TENS machine at this point. So I put that on, but I don't know if that was probably a bit too late. It was sort of helping, but I think it was more a distraction. It was more something like a contraction would come. So I would put on the boost mode or whatever you put on the TENS machine, and then it would die off. But it was really intense. Like as soon as my water broke, I was, these contractions were literally for a minute, and I was getting about if a minute rest, if that. So she checked me, my midwife checked me and saw how, to see how dilated I was after about an hour or so of those sorts of contractions. She said I was 5 centimeters, and I didn't realize how I thought when they checked you to get dilated, it was literally like, oh yeah, you're about 5 centimeters, but I didn't realize they have to, put their fingers up you and really, really
Have a
feel
good feel
around there.
around.
Yeah. And so I was literally like, oh my God, ow, ow, ow. Like, yeah, I was not getting checked after that one check I had. And that kind of almost sped things up, I think, again. So I did sort of the TENS machine, and then I had the air and the gas, which was good because it kind of made me focus on just breathing a bit. And then my midwife said to me, I think around midnight it must have been, I wasn't really in track at the time, but I think she said, I think you should get in the bath, because I knew I wanted to get in the bath and have the baby. So I said, okay. So they had the bath and I got in the bath, and then my breathing went, so I stopped having the gas in the air, and my breathing went from breathing to literally like I sounded like a cow. Like
Yeah,
I
like
was
mooing.
mooing, and I was literally like, I have no idea what these sounds were coming out of me. So I'm mooing away basically in this bath, but then I kind of got this like grunty push sound that was kind of coming through, and I was like, God, I surely am not meant to be pushing yet. Like I've only been in this bath for, an hour or so, and I mentally prepared myself to be in labor for 12 hours or something. Being your first baby, I thought, okay, don't even think it's going to go fast. Like you're going to be in this for a long time. And then I could sort of hear the midwife around me saying, "Oh yeah, she'll be pushing soon. She'll be pushing soon." But I just didn't think it was going to be as quick as that. So I got to, it must have been about 1:30, and I started pushing, and I pushed for 25 minutes, and then her head came out. So once it got to the pushing stage, I think it was really good because you could really work with the contractions to feel like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, like every time there's a contraction to push. So had to do a few pushes to get her head out, and God, the ring of fire is real. Like I was kind of like, oh my God, this is so painful, but it was actually so helpful. So because her head came out, and actually a couple of days before I went into labor, I'd watched Rebecca's water birth on your birth project course. So it was so similar to that in terms of the head came out and I knew it's okay because they're still getting oxygen from the cord, and they're fine as long as they're in the water. So I was quite relaxed in terms of, it felt like quite a long time between her head being out and then my next push to push out the rest of her. But yeah, so I waited for that next contraction and then pushed her out. So I think I was pushing for only 25 minutes, I think they said.
Oh, amazing.
And then the student actually delivered her sort of into Sam's arms and then up onto my chest. And yeah, I was crying, my baby. My mum actually got a video of it, which is
Oh,
very
cool.
raw, but it's like such a cool thing for me to look back on and see. Well, just yeah, see how supportive Sam was being for me, and just seeing like it's just such an amazing thing, bro. God, I didn't appreciate how amazing the female body is until you kind of go through it yourself. But yeah, so I mean, in terms of, yeah, I think I had a very, very positive experience, which is definitely why I wanted to do this podcast, because I think you hear a lot of positive birth stories maybe about second babies, but sometimes the first first babies, I think, because it's just that unknown. And that's that whole thing of, going in and being a bit nervous or scared can just ch change everything. So I think I just wanted to be another sort of story of like a first baby and a positive story, because it was honestly so positive. And yeah, I couldn't sort of have asked for a better experience. Well, obviously it was painful. But I think a lot of a lot of girls have said to me, "Oh my God, boy, so you didn't get the epidural or whatnot." And I honestly think if I was in a hospital, I would have said, "Give it to me, give me the epidural," because it was that painful. But because I was in a birthing center, the idea of getting out of that bath and getting transferred to hospital was way harder, was way more difficult than just doing what I was doing. And so it was kind of like not having the option was better. But yeah, it was good. I mean, I pooed all through the bath. Like, God, everyone tells you you're gonna poo. And I was like, apparently I was saying, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." Everyone's like, "No, it's fine." But they were trying to scoop it out and it was sinking. And I was like, "Oh my God,
Oh
this is so embarrassing." But then you're kind of like, "Oh, fuck it." Like, so that was one of the downsides. But yeah, I did get second degree tearing. So once I'd had Sia, she was up on my chest for it's crazy. You kind of lose track of time
Yeah,
because
you
you don't
do.
really. So I think maybe 15 minutes, maybe. But then I was quite worried because I was like, "Is she okay in this bath?" Because it was just seemed like it was full of blood and all the rest of it. But they were like, "No, she's fine, she's fine." So she was on me, and then Sam cut the cord, and then I got out of the bath and lay on the bed so they could check me out and whatnot. So yeah, I had second degree tearing and had to get stitched up for that. Which, yeah, it was.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quite painful. I mean, they did numb me, but it was just, yeah, you kind of just want to be enjoying your time with your baby, but you're like, "Oh my God, what's going on down there?" So I had skin to skin with her on the bed, and she latched quite well. I mean, it was quite difficult. God, you're trying to use all your different hands to hold them and then squeeze your nipple to try feed them. But Sam was great, so he was using his hands to help as well. So she was, yeah, we got her on there for a bit, and then I had to push out my placenta. So I was actually in, that was actually quite painful still. So I Sam had really nice skin to skin time with her while I had to wait for contraction to push out my placenta, which was fun. So did that, and they stitched me up, and then yeah, it kind of the midwife left, my mum left, and then it was, yeah, suddenly Sam and I in this baby in this room, which was, thank God he could stay with me. I feel like those mothers who their husbands or partners have to leave, it would just be so hard, because I was just on such a high, and I had all this adrenaline pumping through me, and I just literally couldn't imagine if it was just been suddenly me and her without anyone else. But yeah, poor Sam. By this point, it was probably 6 in the morning or something. So he did go off to sleep, but I just stared at her for the next few hours, just like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you're mine." So yeah, it was such a crazy, I don't know, 8 hours or whatever in the end. But it was, yeah, it was amazing.
Beautiful. It's so funny, like when I first was pregnant with Jai, I was thinking like, "Oh, do I want a birth photographer, or like what do I want?" And I didn't end up getting one. And then in this pregnancy and birth, I was like, "No, I definitely want one," because there's so many things that like either you don't remember or you don't know, like like you say, the concept of time, and having some photos or videos of that moment is just so incredible, right? Like I can just so relate to your feeling of watching that back, even though it's raw. It's like, oh my gosh, like that was me giving
That
birth to
was
that
me.
human baby.
Well, it was actually one of the midwives who said to my mum, "You need to get photos of this." And it was the points where Sam literally held me up for what he tells everyone, oh, my back was broken. I'm like, timing me. But the bath was actually a bit too low. So I kind of wanted to be on my knees in the bath, but my elbows were, it was too low for my elbows to be on the edge of the bath. So I was actually resting on him and he was, I could feel him sweating and like, he was going through the pain with me. He was actually amazing. Like he doesn't know why he did it, but when I was pushing, he was like making pushing noises with me.
Oh my God.
But it actually helped. Like it was weird. Yeah. It was just like the weirdest things were helping me. Like I felt like he was helping me with, pushing her out kind of thing. But yeah, these photos my mum got of just me in absolute agony and him holding me. And then, photos of when she's first put on my chest, like this video of her coming out. And I cry every time I watch it. Yeah. Like I just, I can't even help it. And literally, it's the most amazing thing to have. So yeah, maybe when I have my next baby, I'll get a proper one. But just having the photos on my phone are just enough for me to really relook at. It's great.
100%.
Awesome.
Cool. And how long did you end up spending in the birth center? It's so beautiful out there in Bethlehem. Oh, it's so nice.
Amazing. We kind of lucked it out because she was born at 2 a.m. that wasn't really counted as a night. We kind of stayed there and then we still had two nights after that.
Nice.
Which was just so good because Sam and I kind of really found our feet as the two of us and how we wanted to do things with her. So because we were coming back to quite a full house with my parents, his mum, my grandparents lived next door. Like it was going to be a lot of, different opinions or different, you should do this, you should do this. Yeah. So we had, two nights there and it was really nice because they weren't, the midwives wouldn't come in all the time. It was only if you pressed the button and you wanted help. So it was kind of like, we were just doing our own thing, sleeping, they bring in food and they see if we need anything, but it was just so nice having that help with feeding and, the first nappy change and things like that. But you completely, I literally, when I gave birth, I was fully naked. And then when these midwives were coming in throughout the day, I'd be in the shower, I'd be walking around in my nappy and I just didn't even care because they just make you feel so comfortable, they've seen it all. And so I could just be completely comfortable in that setting I was in, which was so nice. So we had two nights there and just really got to just have so much cuddle time with Sia and really take her in and do things the way we wanted to do it before coming home. So yeah, it was, I would recommend, birth centers or to anyone because they're just so helpful.
Awesome. Cool. And did you feel like you knew the day or the time that your milk came in? Did you have that sort of experience?
Yeah, I did actually. So it kind of went from sort of a suck to more like a gulp. So I actually, I think day 3 or 4 my milk came in. I'd actually expressed colostrum, which was really good because those first couple of days my nipples were so sore. But I swear by, I got those Silverette nipple shield cups, covers, the cups, so just to wear in between feeds. And I just wore those 24/7 in between feeds without anything else, no other healing balms or anything. And they were literally a lifesaver. Because when my milk started coming in, just having a little bit of milk in them as well was really good because it was an antiseptic or whatever. So it was so my nipples have actually been amazing from those, I swear by them. So every new mum who's messaging me saying, oh, what would you swear by? I'm like, these. You're going to get anything. 100%. If you're going to invest in anything, get these. I actually have too much milk though, I think, or quite a fast letdown. So I'm trying to figure out how to feed her at the moment without her choking. So I'm trying to do the lying back at the moment. So I kind of express a bit off at the start with my Hakka hand pump. And then usually that's enough. And then I can kind of get her on my tummy. Now we're 2 weeks in. God, it takes time because she's figuring it out. I'm trying to figure it out. We're both both very new to the whole breastfeeding thing, but it's going good. Like I love feeding her and I love that time we get together is it's like my kind of cuddle time with her before I have to pass her off to someone else who wants to cuddle. But it's going really good. So I'm just my boobs, I'm trying to figure it out. I know it can take a while, but Yeah, I've definitely got too much at this point. So hopefully, I've heard by 6 weeks it can kind of figure themselves out, maybe, and figure out how much milk she actually does need. But until then, I'm definitely having to express off quite a lot.
It's so funny, isn't it? There's just like 100 million different things that you learn with breastfeeding, and like you say, you're both learning. It's not just you or not just her.
No, I know. Well, it's like, she's trying to figure it out, and so I feel bad because I feel like sometimes I'm, ch she's choking because it's just too much coming out, the poor thing. But yeah, no, it's definitely, we're getting there, so it's nice.
Awesome. Cool. And what about your sort of physical recovery from birth? So I know that you said you had some stitches. How have you found the healing of those? And yeah, just I guess in general healing from giving birth.
So the first day or so, I think I was fine. And then by day two or three, I felt like my insides were going to fall out. Like I was literally like, oh my God. Yeah, it was quite a lot more painful than I realized, the whole post-birth thing, because you also are trying to sit down or lie down when, feeding, and you just can feel, you kind of want to be on your side because it's just so painful to sit or to lie at some points. But yeah, so I was definitely religiously taking like Panadol and ibuprofen every 6 to 8 hours to help with the pain. And then I tried to go for just a really short walk, I think, like a week after she was born. And I had to get my brother to pick me up because I was like, no, I'm going to wet
This
myself
is
or
so difficult,
something. Yeah, something's going to fall out of me. This is not good. So I've just literally done nothing for the last 2 weeks, and that's fine. I've kind of accepted that. I'm going to wait 6 weeks until I'm properly back into anything. Because before I got pregnant, or during even during my pregnancy, I was walking at least 6K a day. I was exercising. I felt great, doing Pilates, things like that. So I am a really active person, but it's just kind of, you have to accept that I could do more damage if I don't
For
just
sure.
rest. So I've actually got an appointment with a woman, a female woman's physio, in a few weeks, just to check me out and see how I'm going. But yeah, I don't think the whole post-birth recovery is talked about enough, I guess. I think I knew about it, but I just didn't. Yeah, I think just it's that constant, you're having a shower and you're dealing with your stitches and then your sore nipples, and you're trying to like, oh, it's just, you feel like a broken woman. And I'm trying to, do all these things, and then I'm wearing my nappy, and then I'm, oh my God, I'm just, it takes me so much longer to get ready for the day because of all these new things I've got to get ready for. But yeah, no, it's been okay. Like I haven't had to worry too much. But yeah, I think that first, I was so scared to take my first poo
Yeah,
after she was
same.
born,
Oh
because
my
I
God,
was
same.
literally like, oh my God, what's gonna happen? And all the midwives kept coming in, after the birth, have you done a poo yet? I'm like, no, I haven't. So I finally did on like the third day, and it was fine. It's like that, you work yourself up to it being a lot worse than it is. I just had to, hold my stitches up with toilet paper and hope for the best, and definitely using a stool. I think, having your knees up above your pelvis was definitely a game changer. But yeah, it's quite funny. They gave me this package of stuff when I left the birthing center, of all these different samples, and in it was these two packs of condoms, and I was literally like, you are joking. Like the idea of anything going up there anytime soon gives me literally the shivers. So yeah, that's quite funny. But no, I'm getting there. I'm every day you feel a bit more normal, so it's going fine.
It's so funny that you say that. My midwife, like, we did our final appointment last week, and she was like, "So what are you thinking about for contraception?" I was like, literally, the thought of, like, just the thought of having sex is enough contraception for me. Like, I do not
I
add a lot.
honestly, I feel you. Honestly, it's just like, nah. I
So
know. So that's
funny.
going to be such a scary time when I first, have to get back into all that. But at the moment, yeah, it just definitely still feels like everything is healing down there.
I think yeah, it definitely takes a while, right? But I'm glad that you've booked in with a woman's health physio, because I think I just wish everybody had the opportunity after their birth, because it is such a huge thing for your body to go through. Even just to check that everything is, like, you don't have a prolapse that you don't know about, or the stitches have healed the right way, like all of those different types of things. It's just, yeah, so important.
Well, it was quite good because when I rang her to book the appointment, she said, oh, how are you feeling? And what have you been doing? And I said, oh, I've been for a couple of walks. And she was like, no, She was literally like, no walking, do not do anything. She's like, you need to be a queen for the next 6 weeks. She was like, no housework. Don't literally push anything, because she was literally like, you've just been through an absolute, you know, marathon basically, and you don't want to overdo anything at this point. So hearing that advice from such a expert, I was like, okay, well, she wouldn't say it if it wasn't right. So I've been doing nothing.
Awesome. No, I think you've got the rest of, you know, forever to get back into exercise.
Exactly. Like,
just taking those 6 weeks to really rest and recover is so important. And I remember my midwife said to me at one stage, she was like, you know, if you go for a walk, you have to remember that you have to get back from where you've, you know, like where you've gone, because you feel like, I don't know, like, oh yeah, this is okay for the first however long, and then you always get to a point where you're like, holy shit, I can't walk home. Like, I'm just, I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, that was the thing when I walked down to the shops after a week and had to get my brother to come pick me up. And it was literally only like 400 meters away. I was like, I can't walk back now. And thank God someone could come pick me up, because I literally would have ruined myself if I had to walk that far back.
No, I can definitely, definitely relate to that.
And
what about your sort of like mental health and mental recovery from birth? Have you noticed any of the baby blues or any of those sort of hormonal shifts that can sometimes happen after birth?
So the first couple of days was amazing. I was on such a high. We couldn't, unfortunately, because of even level two restrictions in the Bay of Plenty, we could only have two visitors. So that was it wasn't too tough, but my dad would have loved to have come and met her and my mum, but because we Sam's mum and my brother ended up coming in and meeting her, and then we didn't realize that you couldn't have different guests on the next day, so it was a bit of a muck up. So that was a bit of a downer, but it wasn't a major. It didn't even really get to me. But what did get, what we came home and I was on such a high, and then we got the news, I don't know if you've been following the rugby news, of the passing of Sean Wainui in a car accident. So my dad, he's a rugby coach, coaches the Chiefs, my brother's in the Chiefs team with him, so I knew of him, and I knew of Paige and his wife and, you know, children, but not on a personal level. But that literally completely ruined me. I came in the door and was told the news, and I was literally on my knees, like crying my eyes out. And I don't know if it was the hormones. It was probably a combination of everything. I think it was a combination of the hormones, me being on this massive high, and then realizing another family was going through the worst possible low. And so I think that was, if anything, my main experience of, I cried the whole day. I was literally inconsolable. I couldn't control myself just thinking about Paige and the position she's in. So that's really the only time I felt, I mean, I've had one other cry, I think. I was just breastfeeding Sia and I was crying. I was like, why am I crying? And I think I just, Sam, he's been amazing, but I just sometimes just want him to sit with me when I'm feeding her. You kind of just sometimes, you know, he comes and checks me. Do you need anything? Do you need a drink bottle? Do you want anything? And it's like, you say, no, I'm fine. But all you actually want is him to sit with you and have a conversation with you, because you just feel like, everyone's kind of keeps going on with their lives and you're suddenly completely occupied
100%.
by the baby. And you suddenly feel like, oh, I would like someone to just sit and chat with me about something, or but you don't want to be a burden because you're like, they're busy doing what they need to be doing. And kind of, I mean, I could go down and sit with everyone and feed her, but just while I'm kind of finding my feet with it, I kind of like to go off to a room and feed her, because it can take quite a lot of focus because of both of us trying to figure it out. So I've only had a couple of moments, but I think I've been quite lucky because of the support I've got with living with my parents at the moment. But if I was alone at home, I think there'd definitely be moments where you think, oh, especially in, you know, if it was in Auckland in lockdown and people not being able to come meet her or see you, it's just it's such a weird, tough time for so many people.
I think it's so interesting, like the whole experience with breastfeeding. It can be so like lonely and isolating because you're trying to figure it out, and like it's sort of hard. I can relate to that, having other people around, even just their like opinions of, oh, why don't you try doing it like this, or like just the little comments that like they mean well by, of course, and they're just trying to help, but you're like, I don't need you to tell me something else. Yeah. I'm already finding this hard.
Yeah, I know. I fully feel. Yeah. It's just kind of like sometimes she's choking away or gulping and I'm trying to change my position and make sure her head's comfy and move my hand. And like, you just don't need anyone sort of. Yeah. And I think as well, like the nights are hard because, you know, there's no point Sam getting up with me. He can't, I mean, he'll get up sometimes if I need to change a nappy and he can hear her crying and he helps me or whatever. But at the end of the day, I'd rather him be fresh in the day and help me and maybe me have a few naps than get him up because he can't feed her. You know, I'm the one with the boobs. So those are the times where it's that, you know, waking up and feeding her at night, you're like, okay, just another like half an hour just sitting here in silence, but it's okay. I mean, she's doing really well, but it can be quite isolating and quite lonely at times.
I find my new thing to do in the night feeds is to put my headphones in and listen to like a podcast or something, because it's just nice to have another voice in the middle of the night. I think it's just like, because I was the same. I was waking up and I was like getting into quite a state sometimes because I was like, okay, I'm so tired and I'm doing this on my own all the time and I just want like somebody else to do it for this one time.
It's kind of just that repetitive cycle, isn't it? You know, before you've had kids, you have a bad night's sleep or you have a big night out and you're like, that's right, because tomorrow night I'll get a good sleep. But when you have a newborn or, you know, even a toddler, like you've gotten a newborn, there's no next night of getting a good night's sleep. Every night is, oh no, I'm still up twice or three times next night and the next night and the next night, because that is only you that can do that job.
It's a privilege, and it's also sometimes just like, oh my God, give me a rest. Like I just, I totally can relate to that for sure. Cool. And is there anything else that we haven't covered that you want to include in your story?
I think I just wanted to also talk about my friend. She's actually based in the Mount. She just had a baby, a 10.12 pound baby at home, her first baby.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
So I went and saw her on Friday and I said, I'm doing this podcast on Monday. Are you okay if I mention you? And she said, yeah, absolutely. Because she's just another example of just an amazing, positive first baby story of like what you can do. And she is a small girl. Like I'm telling you, she's tiny. And she was carrying around this 10 pound 12 baby and she had it in the bath at home. She didn't plan to, she actually wanted to go to Bethlehem, but the traffic and the timing of it wasn't going to work, so the midwife said, I'm going to come to you. And she had this gorgeous baby girl at home. It was just another amazing positive experience of what the female body can do. So I think as well, I just want to mention, like, I printed off all your birth affirmations from your course and I was reading them to myself and they were just so helpful. I think just those like repetitive things, telling yourself you're safe, your body's made to do this. And I think as well, like my main thing was my mum did this, my grandma did this. They can do it, I can do it. You know, everyone can do it. So I think it's just trusting yourself and what your body can do. It's amazing.
It's sounds like you were in like such a good mindset before your birth, which is just, I honestly preach to everyone, they're like, what's the number one thing I can do to prepare for my birth? I'm like, prepare your mind. Your mind is your biggest tool.
100%. Mine is your biggest tool. And also, if you can, I think for me it was just even though my walks were so slow towards the end of it, just getting out there and walking every day. I think just kept her super low, kept her super engaged. And I think all those, just all doing all those little things, they do all add up and they helped in the long run.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Gabby, for coming on the podcast and sharing your story.
No problem. Thanks
really
for having me.
Really love talking to you. And I know that there'll be so many people out there that just, enjoy listening to your story. So thank you.
Oh, good. I hope some people can take something positive away from it for their birth and just know that they can do anything.
Another huge thank you to BioBlends for being this week's sponsor of the Kiwi Birth Tales episode with Gabby. a little bit more information about their products. Each unique blend has been based on a combination of Dr. Libby's biochemical and nutritional knowledge, the best scientific and traditional evidence available, and the clinical insights Dr. Libby has gained from supporting thousands of patients over the past two decades. The quality of a supplement can be determined by three factors: what's in it, what's not in it, and how well it can be absorbed by the body. BioBlends work tirelessly to source exceptional quality ingredients, putting them through rigorous testing before they're even considered for formulation. Another reminder that we have an awesome giveaway with BioBlends this week on the Kiwi Birth Tales Instagram if you want to head over and check that out. And you can always go and check out BioBlends on their Instagram, which is just at BioBlends, or you can head to their website, which is just www.bioblends.com. Thank you, BioBlends, for sponsoring this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.